We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
What do you think of Greinke with the Chiefs? You like the deal. You like the signing and what he can bring.
I can't get football out of his mind.
I think personally.
What did I say?
I think that Greinke should pitch for the Royals,
did I say the
even
Chiefs?
Though the Chiefs have a hole in their secondary. I think we should let him stay there.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, thank you to Matt Derrick, Chiefs Digest, joining us in the previous segment. Let's talk with Kendall Gammon. Freeman Health System, centered around you. Freeman Health System, your local hospital, joining your circle of trust. And Crown Automotive in Lawrence. They're your Lawrence new and certified pre-owned Toyota and Volkswagen dealership near Kansas City, Olathe, and Topeka. Experience the Crown difference at crownautomotive.com. Kendall Gammon joining us here on the show. Kendall, what's up, man? How are you, sir?
Doing very well. And yourself, Jason?
I am doing just fine. I appreciate you joining us today as we get set for this this big matchup coming up on Sunday. How are you feeling in your anticipation level for a game like this for the Chiefs, as they get set for a little revenge on their mind?
Yeah, there's no doubt that that's been going around the locker room a little bit. And talked about the fact that there have been some quarrels in social media, as they are. It's funny how times change. But, yeah, I think this game has been on the docket, on the checklist for the Chiefs since they lost, quite honestly. And it should be interesting. A lot to play for. I mean, when you think about it, these teams could definitely meet in the playoffs. But the big thing is the Chiefs trying to keep pace in the AFC and make sure to hold on to that number one spot. That's the most important thing. A lot of different things that we'll talk about. I'm interested to watch the defensive backfield of the Chiefs and how they handle everything.
That feels like one of the biggest matchups, or maybe the biggest matchup in this game, is the younger guys, the four rookies in the secondary, and guys that they went out and drafted and revamped the defense, I think, in part because of the Bengals game and the AFC Championship game, because of, you know, it was a slower defense, it was an aging defense, and it was a defense that wasn't really that good at tackling. And that becomes an issue when you play football. So not being to cover ground, but when you do, you don't necessarily bring the guy down. But part of not bringing the guy down, Kendall, is you may almost get there, but you're just a step slow, so your arm gets there, and it looks like, well, you weren't able to tackle him, you're just not good at tackling, or it's the age and sort of the not as athletic or fast as some of the younger guys, so you couldn't get there in time to do much but just stick your arm out and hope that you were able to bring the guy down. I think some of that goes hand in hand.
Well, certainly if there's any talk about being a step slow and not being athletic and not getting there, that's something that I would be very well adept to talk about from my career. But, yeah, you're exactly right. And with the youth the Chiefs have and 10 or 11 rookies playing and so much stuff going on, they are fast. Spagnuolo talked about it early in the season that he hoped that the speed made up for maybe the lack of experience, but they've got that experience now, and they're playing well. There's no doubt about it. I think one thing that will just go a long ways towards helping the defensive backs, of course, is getting a pass rush, and hopefully getting a pass rush with just four. The minute that you have to bring five more often, and to where it can maybe even be predicted, that's when you start to get in trouble, especially with Joe Burrow.
Visiting with Kendall Gammon. So you mentioned this game, one of those games you circle or something like that on the calendar and the when the schedule's released. Justin Reed said that, you know, when he joined the Chiefs this year, there were three games that the Chiefs players talked about on the schedule this upcoming season. It was Buffalo, it was Tennessee, and it was Cincinnati. Is that common to where, because last year or 2 years ago, going into the 2020 season, or 2021 season, I can't remember. Either way, it was the Browns that talked about it all off season that they were going to get the Chiefs back, that they should have won that divisional round game, and that was week number one. But are there those games that, you know, as a sort of group that you just kind of, maybe it's spoken, maybe it's sort of unspoken, that these are the games that you circle that you feel like are have a little bit extra juice and meaning than just, hey, it's one of 17 or, you know, one of 16 back then?
Yeah, I think absolutely so. It's human nature, and when you look at what the Chiefs did in the first half as compared to the second half last year, how could you not be looking forward to this game and wanting to get some things going? That being said, either way, it is still one game, and I know that's the biggest cliche in the book, but it's true. And I think it's going to be an interesting game for so many different aspects. You know, going back to my career, I can remember in 93 we played in the AFC Championship game and we lost on the last play of the game to the Chargers, and we felt like we should have won that game, and so we were looking forward to it the next year. Now, we were looking forward to getting back into the AFC Championship game, which we did, and we won, and I got to the Super Bowl, but all the same, when you lose big games that are in big moments, I think it's impossible not to remember those and not to put those on the calendar if you have a rematch the next year.
Is there a worry or a fear or concern that if you put too much into one game that there can be, you know, that letdown a couple of days after that game is over, that, you know, the old cliche of don't let one game beat you twice, that some of that can happen? I know that I can't remember exactly what Marty Schottenheimer's record was the week after playing the Raiders. It wasn't great, but playing the Raiders, they were 18-3 with Marty Schottenheimer. It was obviously a big week. They put a lot into it. Buffalo, last year beats the Chiefs, and then they went 3-5 in their next 8 games. Buffalo beats the Chiefs this year. They go 1-2 in their next 3 games. Is there a fear that if you really put too much into one particular game and it doesn't go your way, or maybe even if it does go your way, that there can be a letdown a little bit after that, as opposed to we're going to be steady and do the exact same thing and exact same emotions because we're robots?
Well, there wasn't a fear until you told me all those stats.
Sorry about that.
No, absolutely. But, I think that's natural, and that's interesting. I hadn't heard about all those type of things. But that you make a good case. I don't really subscribe to it in general, and I think that comes down to the fact of having good leadership starts with Big Red, and then it mm-hmm. trickles down to Patrick Mahomes and Kelce and everybody. I think if things didn't go well, they would still be ready to go and get it going, and it would only focus things even more. So I'm not scared of that, but I do think that's a real issue with some teams. I think the Chiefs, even with all the rookies that we talked about, I still think they're a veteran team because of some of the older guys mm-hmm. they have who have been playing so long and are such big leaders. So I feel okay about that aspect of it.
Yeah, and I should also point out that it's a little bit of a different feel than going back to July, looking at the schedule and saying, "Hoo boy, the Chiefs play the Rams at home." Or they go to the Chargers, they play the Rams at home, then they go to Cincinnati, then they go to Denver. Oh my goodness, that's going to be really, really rough. And now we look at it and say, well, when you come out of that Cincinnati game, well, it's Denver after that. That's just, you know, so the schedule lightens up a little bit. So even if you put so much into this week, you know, you aren't facing the Bills or the Ravens or anything next week to where you've got to come right back and be ready to go and be able to answer the bell, just as that, you know, Bills game, you had to go right back and then head to San Francisco against a really tough physical, you know, a team that the schedule does, you know, help them this year, whereas we didn't think that would be the case, but that's mainly because the Broncos have just been so bad this year.
Well, yeah, you're right, and you bring up a good point, which is after this game, it is very weak. And now we have to remember that I think for 23, the Rams or the Chargers have been predicted to win the Super Bowl already in 23, because that's just
that's right. That's exactly that's
the
good point.
Habit that most people take.
That's a good point. They are the odds. I looked at it right now. 2023 betting favorites, the Chargers already.
Oh, isn't it? You know what? Whatever that word is.
Digress. Digress.
Sorry.
So, you know what? So have the Broncos.
Football moment. Tell Joshua to be quiet after hearing this. All the same, yeah, it's interesting how everything changes during the season. That's just really, that's the beauty of the NFL, which is how good or how bad you were the season before oftentimes has very little bearing on the next season, and I think that's one of the big reasons the NFL is so popular.
Mm-hmm. Visiting with Kendall Gammon, he is our guest. So we've talked a couple of times with you on the reverse of another team saying something the week of the game about the Chiefs. It was Shaq Barrett saying that they're going to have a coming out party against the Chiefs offensive line. That didn't go well for him. It was Jeffrey Simmons talking about what he's going to do to the Chiefs offensive line and what they're not going to be able to do on offense. That aged well. He went out and backed it up and played like that. This week, it's the flip side, Kendall. It's Justin Reed talking about different guys that are going to be locked down, and then goes to Twitter and, you know, almost doubles down even more and says it doesn't matter. Everybody's getting locked down. That's a surprise from a Chiefs player because, you know, maybe I'm just not remembering right now, but I don't remember many of Chiefs players when it comes to the opponent sort of speaking like that or creating sort of bulletin board material, as opposed to the flip side when the Chiefs are responding to what's been said about them?
Yeah, that surprises me as well. I've got to believe that there's a few coaches or even the veteran players that just came in and looked at him, and I wish I was there so you could see me, because I would think they've just given him the eyes and be like, no, that's not what we do. But, you know, he kind of got away for a second because he was naming players who were on other teams, I think. So
that's right. Higbee and whoever else.
He finally came back with it. But you know what? I hope he can back it up, and if he can, and if the defensive backfield can, and then that spells good things. I've been asked all week about this team and what I think about them, and I think they're better than the 19 team simply because this defense is so much better, in my estimation, than that 19 squad.
Interesting, yeah. So what do you make of that then, if you can elaborate a little bit more on this team compared to that 19 squad?
I just think that the inside linebackers and Bolton and Gay, we haven't had a duo like that for quite some time together. And I think they can both run side to side and be in there. I know they're not always three down backers, mm-hmm. but they can be at times. And I think that just the defensive backfield is so much faster, quicker. Obviously, they're younger, and they're doing a nice job. If there's anything, I'd like to see the pass rush improve a little bit more. I mean, this week, If you're any team, if you're not doubling Chris Jones, then you've been hitting the head too many times. And the fact is, he's going to get doubled almost all the time, I would hope. And if that's the case, then somebody else with the one-on-ones, they've got to come. I think somebody like a Carlos Dunlap or even Karloftis, they need to have a big game and get in there and start doing some things, because they're being given the opportunity going one-on-one.
Did it mean more when you got a chance to play Pittsburgh the first time? Dunlap played 11 years in Cincinnati and was one of the faces of the franchise throughout that time, and then it didn't end well there, right, in Cincinnati between the two. Wanted to trade, wasn't playing good football, kind of looked like he was dogging it a little bit, and then ends up in Seattle. Now he's with Kansas City, he's playing good football, and he gets to go back home to a place that, you know, last time he was around there was some pretty bad feelings there in that stadium and around the organization. So what is that like, maybe? And I know it probably wasn't the same, but when you play that old team for the first time, and especially if you're going to that opponent's stadium in that city.
Well, I certainly think it's unique to every individual, but on the whole, I think you generally, there's a little more into it because there just is, that memory of what was going on there. And if you went out on a bad terms, then I think definitely you can throw a little chip on your shoulder. For me, actually, going from Pittsburgh to New Orleans, it wasn't so much mad. It was just so much envy of, man, I used to be in a great spot, and now I'm with the Saints, and you know, we got the paper bags and everything going on. So it was just thinking about what it used to be like. But, every situation is different. But in general, yeah, I think guys, you have egos when you get into this league and this level. And so when somebody tells you that you're no longer wanted or you're not good enough or whatever it may be, you cause too much, whatever the excuse is or whatever the reason is, I think generally it's human nature to take that a little bit personally. And if so, you can use that to your advantage oftentimes. And oftentimes, though, you can put too much emphasis on it, and that can take you the other way as well.
I do want to pass along a little breaking news. Beards, do we want to hit the breaking news sounder, even though we're talking with Kendall? Do you want to hit that, Beards, the breaking news sounder? Because, it's not football-related. It's football-related. Christian Pulisic has officially been cleared to play tomorrow. So that just came down. So he is
Kendall, say the line!
Yes.
Say the line, Kendall!
Are you talking about the two things that I'm... two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
Let's go! USA! USA!
Love it. That just came down. Breaking news. Christian Pulisic has officially been cleared to play tomorrow. As he said yesterday, he did not get hit in the balls. So that was not what happened for him. And if he did, then Freeman Health System might be able to help him out. I'm not sure if that was the case. And what if he needed to, if he couldn't walk or move, then Crown Automotive in Lawrence can get him
exactly
wherever he needs to go for him. Kendall Gammon is our guest. I don't even know where we were at before I broke in with the...
We've been off the rails for quite some time. Yeah.
I don't even know. We were talking about Dunlap and all of that stuff, but I remember where I was going to go then, because I was going to change the subject from Chiefs and Bengals to something specific Chiefs, and then your area of expertise. It's been a conversation this week about the punt return. Sky Moore had another one, and that's not going to be something he does the rest of the way. They're going to take it off his plate, and Dave Tobe said they took it as far as they could, and it's going to be Justin Watson or Trent McDuffie or whoever now moving forward. What I kind of wonder is, you know, it's human nature that if you're on a team and there are some things that you can do well as a team overall and you just simply want to get the opportunity to do that, that being the Chiefs offense out there, that right. There could be some frustration that comes up with muffed punts. And players know who the other good players are. Can it become an issue in the locker room if, like, you know, they're looking around and saying, why are we putting him back there to return the punt again? Because he keeps doing this. You know, just put somebody else back there and let's get the job done, Dave or Andy or whoever. Can that happen in a locker room where you see that? Or is it really as kumbaya of everybody rallies around and it's all good, no big deal, man, we're going to make up for it. You're going to make some big plays for us. You know, keep your head in the game.
It's part of both. First of all, could it be that way? Yeah, it can. I very rarely, if ever, saw that part of the game. I can't remember anything offhand. And I do think it is somewhat kumbaya. I mean, people know that everybody's trying their hardest. They're working at it, and sometimes things don't work out. I give Tobe credit for standing up there and answering all the questions till everybody's done and being pretty candid, I thought. And I remember this watching the game, you know, after it happened, but then seeing Sky Moore catch some good balls and being like, okay, at least his mind's still there and he can perform where he needs mm-hmm. to in other places as well. And it is what it is. It's not the greatest thing. I mean, right now the returner, it's Watson, I guess, and that's more just to secure the yep. ball, like you mentioned. You just that's the biggest thing. I remember that all the time. That's the number one thing of punt return. It's not returns. The number one thing is possession. We forget that sometimes, but so that's a big deal. And I'll give him credit. You know, sometimes people do need to get away from things a while, and Sky Moore, he's got a chance now to just concentrate on the receiver side of things and just go about their business. And I'm glad it, and this sounds kind of weird, but I'm glad it happened now, that they didn't keep going and one mm-hmm. of these happened in a game that was even bigger. So yep.
Maybe this weekend, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and now you just put Justin Watson back there. And the one thing that Dave Tobe said about Justin Watson, you know, over the summer and training camp was, you know, talking about the different punt returners and said, well, the one thing we know with Justin is he's going to catch the ball. Done. There's right. my punt returner. Found yeah. him. Not looking for a returner anymore. If that's the one thing he's going to do, then that's the one thing I want him to do. That's yeah. really it. You know, and it's interesting you talk about, like, the first part of a punt return is possession. Possession is the most important part. After that could be gaining yards or whatever it might be. But yeah. possession, as part of that, Dave Tobe has taken responsibility for the special teams onside kick against the Jags and then the fake punt this last weekend that was Trent McDuffie. And he said he took responsibility for it because he did not remind them either of those times. Like, he did not specifically remind them, hey, remember, we're focusing on the ball before it's kicked. That he does. He said he does it every single kick or kick return. I guess that wouldn't be the case. And then he didn't specifically remind McDuffie and the gunners or the corners on that they need to make sure that, you know, you're paying attention, that the sticks play that they've been practicing this week is something they were expecting to happen in the game. They did expect a fake punt. They did expect it to be sticks. That was the play that happened. McDuffie wasn't playing it correctly. At you know, they're rookies, so it takes some time, and McDuffie missed a good portion of the season, so maybe if he played all year, he would have been ready for it, and he wasn't, you know, thinking about maybe the return or something like that. How long before, you know, you sort of just have it down that it's instinctual, that I'm not leaving until the ball is kicked on the kickoff returns, so I'm ready for an onside kick, and I've got to play it a particular way if all week we've been talking about this. So how long does it take to do that for a rookie? And then the second part of that, Kendall, would be, At what point do you just simply have to take responsibility that Dave Tobe is saying, well, it's my fault I didn't remind him? Well, no, the player's got to go play. Like, they shouldn't be, he shouldn't have to remind somebody every single time if you're on the front of a kickoff return to watch the ball until it's kicked. That shouldn't be something that's reminded. That's like an 8-year-old that you got to remind to do that.
Well, you're right. It's yes to all of that. And the fact is, yeah, as a player, you've got to know those things. And McDuffie, I'm sure, would tell you as much. This is the case. This to me, this is just the coach, you know, believing that he should have reminded them. But he knows, and everybody knows, that McDuffie should have been aware of things. This is no different than, you know, Andy Reid coming in after the game and saying, you know, I've got to call better plays in the red zone, and I've got to do this, I've got to do that. It's just coaches, quite honestly, being kind of stand up and standing behind their guys and going about it. I think it's very, I don't know what the word is, just kind of routine and a little bit of cliche of just going up there and trying to take the blame. But when it comes down to it, everybody knows that, you know, somebody missed their assignment a little bit. They should have been a little bit more aware. And sometimes, you know, in games and in tense situations, you can just let things lapse a little bit and be focusing on something else, and you just get caught off guard. I know that's not a great answer, but I think it's a real answer.
Yeah, he said he wished he would have reminded McDuffie. And again, McDuffie's played like 5 minutes in the NFL, it feels like. So
right.
There's some experience to go along with it. He said he wished he would have reminded McDuffie specifically, but I kind of feel like when he said, we had the 8-box safe play on, we were expecting at some point a fake punt, so we had that call on. Isn't that kind of the reminder to McDuffie?
No question. Yeah, no question about it. Exactly.
Yeah, we're running this play because we think there might be a fake. So
yeah, no, you know, yeah, and I aware. Think if you got McDuffie off the field and away from things and talking, then and being truthful, he's like, yeah, you know, I messed up. It happens.
Yeah,
there's no great answer, because the fact is, all the answers don't change the fact that it happened. It's just, you got to make sure that the biggest thing, mistakes happen, but the biggest thing is you can't let them happen twice. That being said, we were talking about the punt return. We let it happen a few too many times, obviously. But I give Tobe credit. He's like, nope, we're going to take him away from that and do something else.
I'll say this. I trust McDuffie as a cornerback on punt returns more than I trust Sky Moore as the returner on punt
well
returns.
Said.
And so with both of those things, we know Sky Moore has been taken off that. Leave him be a wide receiver, because I think he's been pretty good, especially as of late as a wide receiver. Find somebody else just to get the possession in these, especially on Sunday in a bigger game and certainly in the playoffs. And on Sunday, if Dave Tobe calls the 8-box safe play or whatever it was that he called, I think Trip McDuffie will be prepared for a fake punt on Sunday against the Bengals. So maybe it was good that it happened in a game that ultimately didn't come back to bite them, because they ended up winning by 16 in a game that kind of felt sort of sleepy with the offense or the overall feel of that game. So there are certainly some positives to take away, as long as you said, Kendall, the key being, you learn from it and you don't do it again, which isn't the easiest thing because they're rookies, but learn from it, don't do it again. And you hope that would be the case with the special teams unit this year, because there have been some big issues so far.
Yeah, McDuffie, he will not only be ready for it if they're in that 8-man safe, he will be yelling at the top of his lungs, alert fake, alert fake. So, he'll make sure that doesn't happen again, I'm sure.
All right, Kendall, what do you think happens on Sunday there in Cincinnati? A big one, cannot wait for this game. What do you think, what are you predicting as to maybe seeing on the field and a score that comes to mind?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think, is the spread still around 2.5 somewhere?
It's
in there?
It's 1.5 right now.
It's 1.5 now. I thought it started 2.5.
It did.
Be wrong, but in general, it's almost a pick 'em game, because we know you generally give the home team 3 points. And I've been saying 31-27, so I think it's close there. That being said, if anything would be different from that, it would be the fact that I think the defense does have a chance to really step up and play and get after Burrows and not allow them to get to the 27 spot. But I think the Chiefs are the better team, but until they go and prove it, it doesn't matter. And I think this is probably a team in the Chiefs that have been more focused during the week. I've been part of this. It's not so much game day. It's during the week when you're more focused and you understand and you're just able to bear down a little bit more, I think, because people are talking about it a little bit more.
I got to have a follow-up with that real quick with you, because you said you think the Chiefs are the better team. I agree with that. How often does that happen in a locker room that, you know, you may be looking around and saying, you know, we lost this game, we're better than that team, and you're kind of mad. I know there's always the, you know, you self-inflicted wounds, and you want to be, you know, magnanimous and a good loser in crediting the other team. But I personally believe this locker room feels like they lost twice to an inferior team last year.
I would agree. I mean, there's really nothing else I can say, but I absolutely agree. They feel like they should have been in the Super Bowl. And I think this has been one of this game in general, and not so much this game, but the thought of the last game has been what has driven them all year long, I think, and which is why I think they're going to be in the AFC Championship game and get to the Super Bowl. To me, it's not even close. When the defense is playing the way they are right now, I think the Chiefs are far and away the best team in the NFL.
We'll see what happens. Kendall Gammon, he's presented by Freeman Health System and Crown Automotive in Lawrence. Kendall, great stuff. Really appreciate the time, sir. Enjoy the football on Sunday. We'll talk next week, bud.
Sounds good. Take care, Jim.
All right, there's Kendall Gammon, our guest here. He is presented by Freeman Health System, centered around you. Freeman Health System, your local hospital, joining your circle of trust, and Crown Automotive in Lawrence, your Lawrence new and certified pre-owned Toyota and Volkswagen dealership near Kansas City, Olathe, and Topeka. Experience the Crown difference at crownautomotive.com. He's got a 31-27 win for the Chiefs, with a possibility of it being 31 and fewer points for the Bengals because of the way he likes the way this Chiefs defense is playing. And if they come out and play the way he thinks that they certainly can, and a possibility of that, then this can be a wider margin than the 4. Even as the line has moved, and he asks about the line, 2.5, down to 2, down to 1.5, back up to 2, and now back down to 1.5. For the Chiefs, being favored the entire way. 913-912-4810. Tex says, did he call you Jim?
I think it was gentleman at
gentleman.
The end.
I was putting him on hold.
No,
when he
I
said
also
gentleman.
Thought that. I was trying to figure out if that was like going to be a little Josh and Jason kind of thing. If I was going to get both of us in there. I think we got gentleman.
I heard gentleman while I was putting him on hold.
We got the J names though. Still, it's
yes,
it's tough. Literally, can I read you a tweet real quick that popped up during the segment?
Yes, you
this
can.
This is a quote tweet of Brett McMurphy, who tweeted: "Missouri says no thanks to border war versus Kansas." Sources told Action Network. Then some other stuff in this tweet. And there's a quote tweet here that reads, "Not true. Looking forward to our bowl game versus any team." From the verified at Mizzou football account.
So the social media team, does not agree with the reporting from Brett McMurphy.
I think that's about the extent of what it means. I do not think that the decision makers are necessarily the ones running the Mizzou football Twitter account. But I was surprised to see that tweet make my timeline.
All right, 913-912-4810. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling. Mick Schaefer will hang out with us coming up next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
I only get mad at 4 things in life. It was 3. This is the 4th. Golf, my wife, Oklahoma State, and now that pun name game that nobody can get.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we'll continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Josh Briscoe Beards. Mick Schaefer, KSHB 41, sports director. Did you wake up a little bit different this morning knowing that last night was Elizak's last broadcast?
Yeah, it was emotional last night.
He got emotional at in the 6 o'clock broadcast?
That was it. There was no 10.
Okay, so I didn't get a chance to watch the 10.
It was Mike Nico who did the 10.
So we typically record the 5 and the 10 o'clock. KSHB News.
How you doing?
Yes, my wife does.
Wait.
By the way.
Not the 6?
Specifically for weather.
Okay.
Not the 6 for some reason.
They have weather in the 6.
I know, but not.
And it's an hour long, too, so lots of weathers.
But not for weather. Not the 6
you
for some reason.
I don't know. The 6 and not in the 5. Tell your wife that, okay?
Okay, there we go. That's why. There it is. So.
Mick, I don't think she doesn't know that. Based off what Jason just gave us information-wise.
I think she doesn't.
I think she knows which ones you are and aren't on, and she's recording the other ones.
Well, that's exactly right. Actually, I am on the 5.
Well,
I forgot. The thing is, I went this morning.
I went this morning to watch, and I go to the DVR, and I'm like, "Hey, honey, where's the 10 o'clock case?" It's like, "I don't know. It doesn't record anymore." I wish I'd have known that yesterday. So, just the 5 o'clock. So then I saw online KSHB had tweeted out, but tweeted out before he even really got to his report. It was just sort of talking about this was going to be his last one, and he got choked up and started almost crying at that one.
We made him do one last weather at like 6:49. I'm like, really? Can we just maybe skip that or
yeah,
just throw up a graphic or something like that? But knowing him, it was probably his call to do one last weather there.
Right.
And yeah, it was emotional. Nobody's ever gonna know my last day. Maybe not even me. Right. But that's nobody's funny. Gonna know my last day. The email's gonna go out the day after I leave. End that's of funny. Story. Because it has been an emotional roller coaster for weeks now. It was like, oh, I have 1 month left. Only 3 Sundays left.
Little look at
this
me,
is my last, this is my last Sunday night football. You know, weather. Oh, this is my last Monday. This is my last Tuesday.
We gave Coach K a pretty hard time for his retirement tour, and we've let Lezak slide on this one. I think it might be time to turn the tides against Lezak.
No, never.
That victory lap was a little long, man.
No, well, I take Lezak 10 out of 10 over K.
As Coach K.
That's what I'm saying.
I'll take Lezak 10 out of 10 over K.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, that's...
10 out of 10, because I believe Lezak to be the same on the set as off the set.
He's the exact same person.
Yes, I believe that.
They just put a mic on him. I think half the time he doesn't realize he's on air.
He's just explaining weather to somebody on the other side of a camera. And just, sometimes he gets televised.
And it's like, he was like, well, you're going to have to follow me. Okay, I'm being told I'm staying here the whole time. Okay. One of his final broadcasts, he's like, oh, so I'm just doing it right here. Okay, great. Then here we go. I'm just going to do the weather right here.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so he's still going to have the LRC. You know, still gonna be, and
he's going to have it. He's still going to be on the Border Patrol. Be a weatherman. It's just not going to be on television. He's going to be on Border Patrol talking sports the whole time.
That's right.
But he's got his own side business, which is probably going to take off. It's a really cool thing in that he's going to do long-range forecasts for companies that basically do work outside and want to plan out well in advance, months in advance, their schedule for workers out in the elements.
Here's
that's
the thing.
Crazy.
When you develop a model that's pretty accurate, you know, it might make some money if you're able to
some of these corporations, he can save them millions of dollars a year just by saying, hey, from April 11th to 14th, it is going to be downpour here. Mm-hmm. I already know. I know it's January, but all right, so don't schedule then. And that saves money. You know?
And here's the pattern. So the snow is coming. He said, what, there's a 25% chance of a white Christmas this year?
I told him to give me like one just crazy 53-day out long-range prediction right now. And then we'll revisit it on whatever day that would be, like late January or so early February.
Prediction, Chiefs win the Super Bowl. There's your crazy. It's going to be nice in Phoenix.
It's going to be it, yes.
What's the weather for the Super Bowl? Nice. It will be nice there. So, yes, that was that sucked. But happy for him. You know, everybody else is lost. Happy
what
for
a
him.
Lie. I told him, like, you've lived one of the top million lives in the history of existence. Which is a compliment. There have been a lot of people.
That's a lot of lives,
no doubt.
I mean, top million.
I'd take top million.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's settled
in court
right now.
What a life. Yeah. And it's still, I mean, it's 60 and in the best shape of anybody I know.
and always smiling and laughing. And he said yesterday on the Border Patrol, he said the irony is that when he first started, they actually told him that he should start smiling more on the camera.
Really?
He didn't smile enough at when
I
he
can't
first started.
That.
And they were like, yeah, they said, because I guess he thought you need to be serious and you're a meteorologist and you've got to give the weather and everything is very serious and you don't want to. And now it's so casual and you guys know each other and the personalities come through on the news and it's not just, hey, let's give you bad news and let's tell you the weather and hey, here's the sports. It's, oh, hey, here's the personality with Dia. Here's the personality with Mick. Here's the personality with Lezak. So here's the personality with Kevin. You know, it's fun. But I thought it was great. He's like, well, actually, I was told that I need to smile when I first started going on camera, if you can believe that. And no, I couldn't.
Elizabeth Alex used to be the main anchor at 41. She's been retired for a few years, but they did all these tribute videos, all these well done, happy retirement videos from all so many former coworkers. Jack Harry was hilarious, by the way, sitting in his cave.
Get lost.
Spinning around in his chair. This is what you had to look forward to, buddy. Showing all his pictures on the wall and just sitting in a recliner. But Elizabeth was hilarious. She's like, I remember the first day I anchored with Gary, and I thought, I went to journalism school for 4 years to anchor with a dog on the set.
That's amazing. Oh, that is amazing. So, yeah, a little bit different day waking up knowing that there's no Lee Zach forecast. But he'll still be around, still hear from him, things like that.
It's the most important job at probably any TV station, right? Because that's what people watch for. You watch,
again, my
watch
wife,
for the weather.
She records it for the yes. weather. No offense to Kevin or you or Dio or whoever, but it's recorded so she can specifically watch the weather.
And I think we made a great hire with the new chief. His name is Mike Nico. And his delivery, his same deal, a lot like Gary's, just so personable. And, you know, he's conversational and is lighthearted and fun and knows the weather so well. And it's a great combination. He's never worked in the KC market. He came from San Francisco, which is the big market where you're doing a lot of things.
Is he a Giants fan?
No.
Okay.
Because he's from Leavenworth.
Is he a KU fan?
He went to KU. So he knows the area, right?
I already don't like him. You know what I'm going to call him? Not Lee Zach. Yeah. Oh, you got Not Lee Zach doing weather tonight? Oh, cool.
That's it.
What's up, Not Lee Zach?
This is why you don't want to be the guy that follows the guy, because then you start trying to pick right away. You know, you don't want to be the coach that replaces K. You don't want to be the quarterback that replaces Tom Brady. This is a tough spot for him to step into.
Was Nico worried about replacing Garrett? Like, I don't know. Should I do it? I got to talk to my job mentor.
I had deja vu. It was the same thing. He's been in for like a week learning the system and everything, been behind the scenes. It's like a quarterback going to a different system in the NFL. What do they always say? It's like, it's the same stuff, just a different language, right? It's the same deal as far as editing goes, as far as graphics goes, system from station to station. So he's been here for a week. I remember when I was coming in for Frank, I was there for a week trying to just handle everything. I was just frazzled. My first night on air was the same night as Frank's going away party now at the in Westport, and I went for a few, like 30 minutes. They're like, "Hey, Mick, you want a beer?" I'm like, "No, I don't want a beer. No, it's the first night on the air. My bosses are here."
But I'm not
now.
Gonna go
now, yeah, totally fine.
now you actually have one to take
I went
the edge off.
I went to Gary's going away party on Wednesday night, and there was Mike. His first night was that night, and he was hanging out. I was like, "Hey, how was you about 5.5 years ago?
Want a beer?"
Yeah.
He's like, a beer guy?
No way. Yeah.
So same thing. You were replacing the legend of Frank Bohl.
Yes.
So, I mean, Frank Bohl's leaving TV, and it's like, who's this young whippersnapper? This, we know Mick.
Yeah.
He's been around a while.
Yeah. If you
he also went to KU.
Cable.
also went to KU. What are the odds?
Yes. I just don't claim him.
We are told that Trent McDuffie will be at the podium today after Andy Reid. So it'll be true. I really wanted to hear from Carlos Dunlap this week.
That makes
I know,
sense.
We wanted
I know
it too we, bad.
Well, it's a couple, I mean, we heard from him like a couple weeks ago or last week.
Locker room.
Yeah. Did we hear from him last week when he got his 100th sack? Then?
Yeah, post-game, yeah.
So maybe that's why. But, man, I really wanted to hear Carlos Dunlap this week. Just
3 weeks. That was three weeks ago, though.
End unceremoniously for him there?
It did. He did not want to be there anymore. He wanted to be traded.
So maybe that's why
His production had fallen off. There became a sort of schism between the Dunlap, the organization, the fans, and sort of people being split. Trade them, pay them. You should be loyal to now they're maybe starting to win. It's going to be turned around. Why are you leaving now? So there was a lot of stuff going on. And then he gets to Seattle and he starts producing. Mm-hmm. And because he wasn't happy. He didn't really want to be at that spot anymore. So now he's heading back to Cincinnati where it didn't end well. But he spent 11 years of his career there where even if it didn't end well, you still have that familiarity.
I mean, when you think of Carlos Dunlap, you think of Bengals.
He was one of the faces of the franchise the time he was there. And so everything's going to be familiar. Driving to the stadium, the bowels of the arena, walking out onto the field, looking up into the stands. It's going to, you know, he's going to have those flashbacks and those emotions come over him. But yeah, I would have liked to hear from him. But Trent McDuffie, we'll see who he's going to lock down.
He should try to make up for it and say, okay, I'm not going to lock down this guy. So it's going to, I mean, does that cancel out the trash talk we've sent that way?
88, 85, 83,
and
so 1.
They're so much better than us.
Are going to score every time they touch it. I don't have a chance, actually. I don't even want to guard 1. Is 1 going to be out there? I heard 1 might play. I'll tell you this much. He is the opposite. Every one of them. None of them are finesse. They're all great blockers. That's all I know about him. Any other questions? Yeah. Thank you. I don't have much for you.
Did you guys
today?
Play the Hayden Hurst sound?
We did.
Okay, yeah.
And we bleeped it out. We had the,
so did I, yeah. I didn't bleep it out. I just dropped it. I feel sometimes the bleep on TV draws more attention to it.
That's a good point. Than just silent. That,
I do that on purpose. Oh, yeah. I like to draw attention to it.
Yeah, well, I value my job, so I don't. A little different rules in TV.
That makes
sense. But no, I actually, I kind of sided with Hurst a little bit because he was like, "What? Wait, why are you singling me out?" Which is very odd for somebody to single out a middle of the road tight end.
Also, where for Justin Reed to?
When you have those other three receivers, you could just call out and would probably play the game with you. You pick his stats. Is he but fourth best target on the team as far as? I know he's got a lot of catches
probably
this
fifth.
Year.
Probably fifth, I would guess. But if you're counting running backs, he might be legit sixth.
Yes. So it was almost like he was mad. That it was like, what am I doing? What are you doing? I'm just over here minding my own business. Nobody calls me out. I'm the last person because I have a long memory.
That doesn't
happen to me often, so I'm going to hold on to this.
Right. So was he mad like, you don't, I'm the last person because I'm going to come get you? Or like, I kind of feel like, look, I'm the last person. Why are you coming up?
He was
Why
mad
am I
last
catching
person.
An L?
He kept ending every soundbite with, I don't care, but then they kept asking him, and you could tell, like, okay, no, he cares.
Yeah, he said he's
fourth in receiving in yards for the Bengals this year, just ahead of Mixon and Piran. More ahead of Piran.
Or, as Spagnuolo called him, or Joe Colan called him, Perini. I like that yesterday. I was like, you go, Joel.
Perini.
You go, Joe. That's my guy, Perini.
It's lunchtime. I want a Perini.
Love it. He's like a running back Perini. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, so I would hope Justin Reed would lock up Hayden Hurst most of the time.
I
would hope that would happen. But maybe the only thing that's going to prevent that from happening is lighting a fire under his butt. But yeah. I've always been of the mindset of like, okay, everybody's, you know, they buy into that bulletin board material and they're all emotional. They're up for the game. And then after a couple of plays in, it's just football after that.
Yep.
Everybody's hitting everybody. You forget about it. You're concentrated on the play at hand. And it probably doesn't have a huge bearing on the game.
We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this hour at 1 o'clock. We'll hear from Andy Reid and Trent McDuffie. We'll give you what's on tap. We got the cuts today as well. And, of course, we still want to weigh a little bit in on the Liberty Bowl and the Gasparilla Bowl and the Mizzou and KU, the Brett McMurphy report, and also the breaking news that came out about 45 minutes ago or a little bit less than that, that Christian Pulisic has been officially cleared to play tomorrow. So he is all good. But on the other side, Pac-Man Jones had some words. And when Pac-Man Jones is talking, we're listening. So Pac-Man Jones was on the Believe podcast hosted by Solomon Wilcots. We'll do that next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
You might not be able to tell by the quality of the radio show, but I'm great.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. She's playing the Bengals this week. I don't know if you heard that. A lot of talk going on. Also, the United States men's national team playing the Netherlands tomorrow.
I mean, I did a whole story on that, Josh.
When no
I went
kidding?
Down for the with actual Pirates.
By the way, Josh just showed the, Mick something, so I'm not sure what you showed him, but it had nothing to do with me saying the men's national team is playing the Netherlands.
We'll just keep
tomorrow.
What I showed Mick between me and Mick. No, I was showing him. He mentioned the Gasparilla Pirate thing in the break. Just showing him the GasparillaBowl.com story that we
Jose.
Read from with Matt
Jose
Derrick.
Jose Gaspar.
So you knew all of this about Jose Gaspar.
I learned it during the Super Bowl year 55 when we were down there.
That makes sense.
And they have a whole group of dozens and dozens of humans who dress up like pirates every day.
Every day?
Every day is also not what I was expecting.
I thought you were going to say for the bowl game.
Yeah, me too.
No. They'll go to events. They go to schools. Now it's maybe not every day, but maybe 3 to 4 days a week. And they love pirates down there, which is kind of ironic. I mean, rewind hundreds of years ago, say, I love pirates there. I'm like, that's stupid.
Yeah.
They're pillaging.
Yeah, they're cutting out people's tongues and stuff.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What would be funny, though, is this whole thing is brought up because Mizzou preferring the Gasparilla Bowl over the Liberty Bowl. What would be funny is if the SEC did say, pound sand, you're playing Kansas in the Liberty Bowl. And then it comes out on Sunday that Mizzou and Kansas is actually the matchup.
Yeah, because it seems like they would be trading one empty stadium maybe for another, right?
Well, they're playing a lesser bowl against a lesser opponent. Missouri
is a long way away.
And a longer way to travel. And telling their fans,
non-interesting.
And telling their fans, we'd really like you to go down there and spend the money and show up. And the next bowl year that we say, see all the fans, because that matters.
What time's the basketball game that day?
The basketball game that day is at 6.
It's 6 and 4:30 for the Liberty Bowl on the Liberty.
So 4:30 basketball. No, 4:30 Liberty Bowl, 6 o'clock basketball.
Is the show over?
It's the end of the show. There we go. We're Audi 5000. So we are going to play this.
Kentucky's
Pac-Man.
Close to Memphis. Just go play right there, back to back.
Well, it's a home game for Mizzou against. If it was in Lexington, I don't think it'd be an issue at all.
No.
If it was in Lexington, not you just go and play the bowl game, because who cares? You're going to lose in Lexington anyway.
Maybe it's not. Just be all Wildcat fans that buy up the tickets in Columbia.
Which Wildcat? All K-State Kentucky. Fans just Kentucky. Show up. That'd be odd. It's purple and blue in here. Wildcat v. Wildcat. I do want to play the Pac-Man Jones sound. We just can't play it right now.
Probably not. How long is it?
It's about a minute and 20.
Unless this is the sound right now that I'm hearing.
Yeah, Pac-Man
Jones
dropped the song.
You probably don't have time for
the
Pac-Man Jones sound.
No, that sound is much better.
Okay.
It's much better.
Oh, I like this music.
Good musician, Pac-Man Jones.
Yeah. No, I meant like the talking of it. Like, this sound is good, but the talking there is better. Andy Reid next.